Are you ready?
Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins.
We just become best friends.
Yep.
Making sense of it all.
Now I get it.
And having some fun.
Lighten up, Francis.
This is the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show.
All right, let's do it.
The Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Thank you so much for being here. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. Hope you had a great Memorial Day weekend. Debt limit deal reached, at least so far.
Yeah, in principle, as they say. A deal on the debt limit was reached over the weekend. Democrats get an 18-month increase on the debt ceiling. Republicans got a reduction in spending, but conservatives, Chip Roy seems to be the loudest among them. Republican out of Texas says, well, this wasn't enough. He also wrote that it's not a good deal. Some $4 trillion in debt for, at best, a two-year spending freeze and no serious substantive policy reforms. I think everybody's kind of playing their roles in the moment. To me, it just kind of seems like, well, you don't really have the juice, unfortunately, on Capitol Hill to get everything you want because the Senate is controlled by Democrats because, you know, a suicidal stroke victim beat Dr. Oz. What else do you expect? You can only get so much out of anything.
Well, and I think, like we were talking about last week, everybody's gut was, okay, there's going to be back and forth or whatever, and media is going to talk about it's looming large, potential catastrophe, blah, 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 and they're going to figure it out one way or another. Somebody's got to cave a little bit, and it'll get done. And I'm still thinking the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Did we solve the hungry people problem? Does it intact?
What do you mean by
that? We don't have people starving in this country because of SNAP, that they would have to work.
Well, there are going to be some people that are going to have to work if you're able-bodied.
Yeah, that's going to be a problem.
No, not for us.
Mm-hmm.
No, I mean, that's been part of it. There's no good excuse not to have that in play. I mean, we all hear parts of them. But there are a lot of outs on that, too, as far as, well, if, you know, you don't have kids and if you don't have A, B, and C. I mean, this is the able-bodied, able-to-work, just not working people. You got to do something to get SNAP benefits.
Yeah, what's the old adage? You got to work to eat?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I thought, yeah.
Yeah, seems fair to most Americans.
Not I got to eat and not work.
Well,
that one didn't really catch on.
No. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's move to, and I happen to see this different places this morning, talking about gun violence.
Yeah, well, a horrible situation at the Hollywood Beach Broadwalk in Florida, where guns came out during a fight, at least 9 people injured. And boy, I'll tell you, not a lot of breathless coverage of violence in Chicago. But,
none!
But, you know, when it comes to this horrible situation in Florida. Well, here's how Gail King on CBS Mornings introduced the story.
Terrifying outbreak of gun violence on Memorial Day, and Manuel Bohorquez is there. Manny, good morning to you. It's just another example of how you're not safe anywhere. What are we learning today?
Not
well, there
safe
are plenty of places anywhere. You're safe, actually.
Now, let me just ask a question, though.
Okay.
The Chicago situation this weekend was horrible. What's the death count?
10, as I know
10,
it right
10
now.
To 12.
44 people shot, 10 people dead.
Right.
Yes.
Terrible. Horrible what took place there. Florida, terrible thing. 9 people were shot. No one was killed, mm-hmm. but 9 people were shot. Chicago story gets nothing. Very little at all. Florida story gets breathless coverage. What's the difference between those two states?
Well, there's something else, too, to be fair. One was, you know, all happening at one place. Now, there were several different neighborhoods all put together.
So it was easier to put a reporter in the place.
Yes.
Rather than 3 or 4 of them. Okay.
I mean, I'm being generous with that.
I'm just saying.
One fits a narrative and another doesn't.
Right. One state is run by Ron DeSantis. The other is run by J.B. Pritzker.
Mm-hmm. My question is, what started the fight in Florida?
Right.
What was it? As far as I can tell, it said, what, 2 different groups of people?
Yeah.
Does that mean gangs or just groups of people? I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, isn't that really the key difference, though? Because so as I was watching all of this, my initial reaction as I was watching the news coverage of this situation in Florida, I thought, okay, somebody went there to this popular tourist destination and just opened fire. But that's not what happened.
Nope.
This was an interpersonal dispute that led to gunfire erupting. That's a completely different thing. But the impression that they want to give you in the media is that someone showed up with a gun and just started blasting people.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
There was another shooting in, was it, golly, was it in California, Sacramento? Where initially, I mean, it was horrible. As you just said, David, it was like one person just opened fire. And then you found out, well, it was actually either two rival gangs or two rivals that were going after one another. Mm-hmm. And people were caught in the crossfire. And all of a sudden, national media ignores the story from there on out.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing this one is not going to have a whole lot of legs with national media. It's sort of enough to go on the air this morning, scare the little old ladies that watch those shows. Yeah, gun violence is bad, and we got to do something about guns, and then on to the next thing.
Yeah.
That's my gun on how this will be treated. We shall see.
Well, it depends on what's the R or the D after the name of the person in the state, too, as to how hard they're going to cover it.
Of course.
This is ridiculous.
Okay, what's the deal as far as Chicago goes, David? A peacekeeper charged in a brutal assault?
Yeah, so the city of Chicago has been obviously dealing with a serious crime and violence problem, and one thing that Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker has come up with is to enlist the help of peacekeepers, that is, community members who would be tasked with de-escalating fights and whatnot. They wear the yellow vests, so they're like hall monitors, and they're trying to keep the peace, right? J.B. Pritzker.
How about the Oath Keepers? Bring them in. Peacekeeper. Got it.
Yeah. J.B. Pritzker wrote about it heading into Memorial Day weekend, saying this weekend Chicagoans should expect to see yellow-vested peacekeepers on the streets as part of the state's anti-violence strategy with a community-focused approach. These outreach workers will help de-escalate and keep our neighborhoods safe. Well, here's how that went in part. There's one of the peacekeepers named Oscar Montes, 31 years old. He was wearing one of the special yellow neon vests when police say he and a group of others pulled a driver out of his car before beating him and robbing him. Apparently, he grabbed the victim's cell phone and beat him with it. Montes, a volunteer peacekeeper, part of this brilliant new plan, had been released from prison earlier this month. He was serving 10 years for shooting at a rival gang member.
Wow.
It's like the freaking A-Team. They're all pitiful. Yeah, right, exactly. You got these guys in yellow vests walking around. What is exactly their job? To break up a fight?
Yeah, I guess. That's,
I mean, to like get in there and grab somebody and pull them off?
To de-escalate because they're a trusted community member.
Yeah, what was the vetting process to get your yellow vest?
Apparently,
you showed up on time? I don't know.
Mr. T was from Chicago, you know.
I know. He was.
Wow.
He was a bad dude. They're all prisoners, though, you know, prior.
Okay, so are they going to go on with the idea of the peacekeeper? Did this, you know, was this the grand closing of that idea? Or are they going to roll on with it? Just one bad apple.
I think they're going to roll on with it. And, you know, boy, wouldn't it be great if you had a similar type of force, but they had to go through hours and hours and actually years of training?
Yeah.
When it comes to, you know, and maybe they could be tasked with actually taking criminals off the streets.
Okay,
That's a radical idea. You're just getting
into crazy talk now.
I know.
Okay.
Maybe we could, instead of the yellow vest, we could give them, like, I don't know, some sort of insignia, maybe a badge or something that they could wear that would indicate that they are representing the state, that they have the power to detain people who are committing crimes.
Hey, I get the sense that your idea is somehow geared toward police, okay?
We don't want no more police. Is that clear?
So you can take that idea and shove it where there should... I can't say that.
Right, you can't. You started to, though. Whoop, my heart will restart in a minute.
How about where the sun don't shine?
Yeah, there you
go. Shove it there, okay? Yeah, no police. We got to come up with another idea. Peacekeeper is good.
Okay.
Okay. It's just we got to make sure we got the right people.
Uh-huh.
And that was just one bad apple.
Maybe we could have like a peacekeeper academy that people go to, and maybe they could have handcuffs and firearms if they are so eligible.
I don't know, man.
And that's when the tears came.
I don't see it happening with that group.
They do have whistles, very strong whistles.
Stop or I'll whistle them.
Well, in a lot of places around the country, there was a lot of people having just good fun Memorial Day weekend. A lot of different big outings depending on the area you're in. I was not familiar with this, and this has nothing to do with Memorial Day, but in England, the cheese rolling, have you ever heard of this before?
No.
It's this huge hill. It's called the Cooper's Hill Cheese Rolling in Wake, an annual event. People race down this. It's an incredibly steep hill, 200 yards long. You may have seen video of this before online where people are just tumbling once they sort of lose their balance, and then they just roll down to the bottom of the hill. This woman, 19 years old, won the women's part of the race, was knocked unconscious, and didn't know she won until after the race. It was incredible. I mean, she was really going after it, running down this steep hill, and then lost her balance, got a little top heavy.
Rolled her way into
I think she got knocked unconscious because as she fell forward, her forehead, boom, right into the ground.
Oh.
You can actually hear, well, here was the start. And then they're all running up the hill, so there are people down there near the bottom, and they're waiting to see, and all of a sudden, you see this lady that gets top heavy, boom. And now she just tumbles, and wins.
Well,
but she's knocked out.
It's the new strategy.
You know where I thought you were going with this? Seriously, when you started this?
Where?
Won the women's division, it was a guy.
No, it wasn't.
I thought, transgender cheese rollers? What's going on?
An actual woman that won this thing.
That's good.
That is Delaney Irving. Congratulations to you. She's going to be all right.
Wow.
Well, concussion will be okay. All right, much to get to. Including the House Oversight Democrats defending the FBI, which is not able to be defended right now. Straight ahead. The Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. Okay, I saw this story, and what was ringing in my head was David Van Camp saying, yeah, nothing's going to come of it. And I know that, okay?
Yeah.
I'm just bringing it up to say, hey, is there something here? And I saw this at Daily Wire. House Democrats yesterday appeared to defend the FBI. This was less than 24 hours before the FBI is scheduled to turn over a key document linking President Joe Biden to an alleged $5 million in this foreign national bribery scheme. So James Comer, House Oversight Committee Chairman, sent a letter to Christopher Wray, FBI Director, last week, revealing more specific terms for the FBI to find a particular FD-1023 form he demanded in a subpoena with a deadline that passed 2 weeks ago. So then Comer said, I give you till May 30th to turn over the record, or you could face contempt of Congress if you don't comply with the subpoena. So is anything going to happen? Is he going to give it up?
No. No, nothing.
I knew that was going to be the answer.
I mean, look, they may put something out. I don't know how that's all going to roll, but I know I saw the Speaker of the House, Kevin McCarthy, out there on Fox and Friends saying that he would subpoena Christopher Wray and all of that. And, you know, then what? Then what do you do? You know, because I guess, was it Steve Bannon who was like the first guy in forever to actually face a trial over contempt of Congress?
Right.
Because again, when you have the entire system geared towards not taking you seriously and not willing to back you up, even if you do have a point in what you're arguing, what can you do? You can have a press conference. You can say, we're holding you in contempt. Okay, let's talk to Eric Holder about how that went when Republicans did it.
Isn't this one of the reasons why people in America are so frustrated? I mean, look at it this way. This is the way my mind works. Okay, let's go back to the 1983 classic, the original Vacation with Chevy Chase.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the family truckster?
Yeah.
And it falls apart, and he's got to get it repaired?
Yeah.
And he basically gets robbed blind with the cost of how much he has to pay for the repairs? I think he asked for local law enforcement around there. Well, it's the guy that runs the shop.
Yeah.
How much you got? In other words, you're not going to do anything about it. There's nothing you can do. Which brings us to modern day, and I didn't know that we would be looking at this with the FBI, but that's what it seems. Hey, you're being subpoenaed for this form here. Yep. I'm Christopher Ray. What are you going to do about it?
Yep.
You're not getting it. Well, hey, you're going to be held accountable. Well, wait a second. No, they're not.
But this is a super subpoena. This has more power. I mean, it's a stupid game we play all the time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and then you got the Democrats out there. Oh, Jamie Raskin?
No, please.
That clown? This is such an overblown response. It sounds preposterous to me that you would hold the FBI director in contempt over a tip sheet that they think someone submitted to the FBI. He's making a mountain of something that's not even a molehill.
Okay. Yeah. Any of these people who are all in on the idea that Trump colluded with the Russians in a plot that had been potentially going back to 1991. You don't get to talk about mountains and molehills, okay?
Well, wait a second. Speaking of Trump, Jerry Connolly, the Democrat from Virginia, he said it's part of the assault on the FBI that the Republicans have launched, fueled by Trump's hatred of the FBI.
There's those two words, assault and hate. They love that stuff.
Trump has every reason in the world to hate the FBI.
Yes.
They railroaded that guy for years.
They did. But, I mean, if you only watched news on, you know, legacy media, you wouldn't know that Trump really has a great argument there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we saw in the polling, half of those people really still think that the P-tape was real.
Yeah.
From
That's
Russia.
True. Yeah.
It's nuts, man. A lighter note. Oh, my gosh. Do you remember when you were a kid and your parents say, don't swallow that gum? Be in your stomach for 7 years.
Right.
Yeah, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. It wasn't true. But this 5-year-old swallowed 40 pieces of gum.
Wow.
What happens when you swallow 40 pieces of gum?
Bubbles come from a different part of your body?
No. Heck of a contest, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
No, it obstructed his GI tract.
Yeah.
Oh.
So, well, yeah, major stomach ache. Kid was rushed to the ER. Scans showed the problem was this huge mass of gum. There's pictures of it. Ooh, buddy. So this is how they removed it. They took this metal tube, put it down his throat, and then from there used a tool to grab the buildup. It says the boy did suffer a sore throat afterward, but nothing compared to having 40 pieces of gum clogged in his pipes, if you know what I mean.
Now, the question remains, did it retain its flavor or not?
That's
I think
be
it was swallowed before
eBay.
That flavor could be gone. Yes. No, I'm saying if you're a parent and your kid's always asking you for gum, here's the cautionary tale.
Yeah.
Watch out for that. Okay, we got to get to how the law is actually a tool of white supremacy. What? Okay, who said that? And what's your story? Straight ahead right here. The Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show. Thank you so much for being here. I'm Jamie Markley, the Gen Xer. David Van Camp, the Millennial, the Sexy Boomer, Scott Robbins. Okay, much to get to. The law is a tool of white supremacy. We've learned that over the last couple of years.
Obviously. It's interesting to hear a future lawyer say it, though. But this is City University of New York. The public law school is under the microscope again. I think they're actually under investigation actively right now anyway for promoting anti-Semitic and potentially facilitating illegal donations to the so-called BDS movement, the anti-Israel movement. This is crazy. On May 12th, this is what happened. Now, the school tried to hide this, but they were ultimately forced to publish it. You know, it's a public university, so yeah. It's a graduation speech by a woman named Fatima Musa Muhammad, who not only claimed that Israel indiscriminately murders Palestinians, but that, in her world, fact, is covered up by Jewish bankers.
Whoa.
It is crazy hearing this. But she said the class of 2023 is going to fight this. Listen to this communist BS.
The law is a manifestation of white supremacy that continues to oppress and suppress people in this nation and around the world. May the rage that fills this auditorium dance in the hallways of our elementary schools.
Rage. Mm-hmm. It's a celebration. We made it through law school.
Right.
Well, you got to bring everybody down with your anti-Semitic crap. Shut up. Next.
May it be the fuel for the fight against capitalism, racism, imperialism, and Zionism around the world. No longer are we going to capitulate to oppressors.
Get her
no
out.
No longer are we going to put our hope in their depraved consciousness.
Time out. We got another 20 seconds of this nonsense.
Yeah.
Okay, in a lot of places, you got to submit the speech ahead of time for approval.
Mm-hmm.
Because it reflects on the university. Mm-hmm. Do we know? Did that happen here?
Well, I'm sure something like that did, because the school, didn't do anything when she was going on this rant.
Well, she could have given them another speech and then just pulled one out of her pocket.
That's why I'm asking the question.
I'm just wondering.
Sometimes that happens.
Yeah.
Okay, roll on.
And we will protect the fight that brings us all closer to the fall of all oppressive institution, a reality that is only myopic and unrealistic to the oppressors, but is the inevitable future for the oppressed.
Oh, goodness.
For oppressed people everywhere. For greater empires of destruction have fallen before, and so will these.
Hmm. Anti-Semitic.
Pretty,
So you're out to fulfill the scriptures. Okay.
I think it's also, this sounds very insurrection-y, does it not?
It does.
You are actively talking about the destruction of the United States.
Yes.
Okay. Merrick Garland going to get on this?
No, he's too busy worried about the Catholics.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Because, they could be one of the greatest threats to the United States, along with white supremacy.
Mm-hmm.
Holy smokes, man. How does that continue to go on?
I don't know. But it does.
Where's the outrage from the left? Well, I don't think we're going to hear it.
They agree with it. That's the problem.
Right.
So again,
they don't see a problem here.
Again, coexist is the bumper sticker.
Yeah.
Except Jewish people.
Mm-hmm.
Can't have it. Well, and a lot of you Christians, too. Everybody else, we're all together.
Not conservatives and not somebody who, isn't communist either.
All right.
Basically, it's communists wanting to coexist with one another.
Got it.
Yeah.
And seriously, that's what it really is.
Absolutely it is.
Yeah, it is. All right, more on that a little bit later. Time to go around the table. We do it every day around this time. May not be the biggest story out there, but it caught your attention. David, today, what's your story?
Today, my story comes to us from ABC News. And it is from the cows on The View. Sunny Hostin giving her insight into politics, particularly racial politics in this country, had this to say.
Different. I have a similar theory, and it's borne out when you look at the studies and when you read books like it's a book that came out a long time ago about she owned property as well, meaning white women owned slaves as well. I think that women, white women in particular, want to protect the patriarchy here because it's to their benefit. Yeah. They want to make sure that their husbands do well. They want to make sure that their sons do well. They want to make sure that their children do well. And they want to make sure that they do well. Most of the women in some of these studies are married white women, and they do fall in line with what their husbands are doing, how their husbands are voting.
I'm waiting, Scott. I don't know if you want to bounce.
Sunny Hostin is there's probably a three-way tie, but the biggest racist in America.
Yeah, if you go of history,
publicly,
what she said.
The biggest racist.
Yeah.
Sexist? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's covered.
I just think
but you just say these things.
I think
because you can.
Nobody pushes back. No. Nobody says anything. No.
I think it's also rich to me to hear that and think, wait a minute, so you're criticizing people for wanting to vote in a way that benefits them.
Yes.
Well, that sounds dumb. Who doesn't vote in a way that benefits them?
Only if their husband tells them it benefits them.
Right. Well, that's lifting a page out of the playbook of Hillary Clinton. Remember, after 2016, that was one of the things that she said. I can't remember if it was right before the election or right after the election. But she basically said that a lot of women voted for Trump because their husbands and bosses told them to.
Right.
And they just fell in line.
I'm thinking about all of my friends that come from a lot of different places. I can't think of one wife that would vote the way she would vote because her husband told her so.
No.
Obviously, this person has no relatability to anybody, at least in flyover states. I'll just say it that way. And if, I mean, if you want to spend the time, can you start what she said about halfway through?
Let me pull this up again.
You can take this apart piece by piece.
Women in particular want to protect this patriarchy here because it's to their benefit. Yeah. They want to make sure that their husbands do well.
What good wife doesn't want their husband to do well?
Sonny Hostin wouldn't want you to do well.
What good husband doesn't want their wife to do well? Shame on them for that. Now, of course, she is masquerading this as the white patriarchy and all that nonsense. What are we really talking about? For what? She wants her husband to be successful, having a career and being able to provide for the family, and then she wants her son to be successful and possibly provide for a future family? How dare they? Of course, that's what people do.
Yeah.
Good people do anyway. Yeah. All right, go ahead. Let's go to the next line.
Well, they want to make sure that their sons do well. They want to make sure that their children do well. And they want to make sure that they do well. Most of the women in some of these studies are married white women. And they do
who happen to be the happiest women in the country.
Married white
women. By studies.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. It's not the miserable old cat ladies bitching and moaning about everything on The View.
Leave cats out of
this. No, they're miserable, just like these women are.
Those cats are miserable, too.
We need cat equity. All right?
Yes, we do. Yeah.
But no, you've seen these different happiness studies.
Yes, of course.
Conservative women are happier. They just are. Okay, go ahead. Any more?
A little bit more.
Okay. Well, in line with what their husbands are doing, how their husbands are voting.
Okay. Fall in line with it. What does that mean?
They just do what they're told.
That they're
right, exactly.
Family values.
That's a very sexist thing. Yeah. Your husband tells you how to vote, how to think.
You
just fall in line.
I know some moms that are working moms. I know some moms that are stay-at-home moms, some homeschool, and then I've known some that were home with their kids until the kids were in school, and then they went back to work. Okay. I think that speaks for a lot of the country.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it seems that those like Sonny Hostin, if you do have, you know, a woman that decides I'm going to stay home while the kids are little before they go to school, because we happen to have the means to do it. And it's something I want to do as a mom. It seems that the likes of Sonny Hostin would be very jealous of that and very bitter toward that. Why? You can fill in the blank. But for most people that do have the opportunity to do it and they want to do it, why shouldn't they do it? It doesn't make any sense.
No. I mean, if you can economically pull it off.
And that's best for the kids by every study.
I say then yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Maybe they just care about their kids and family more than you do, Sonny. I don't know.
She doesn't know anybody in that world, though.
That's just it, isn't it?
They don't know. Right, it is. That's it.
It is.
She doesn't know anybody that does that. And if they do, they are mocked by the Chardonnay Mafia.
Right.
Yeah.
The Chardonnay Mafia. That's hilarious.
True.
All right, Scott, what's your story?
My story today involves Gavin Newsom.
Okay.
He issued a statement after the shootings that took place in Florida this past weekend. He was running his mouth on Twitter again about senseless violence and how only common sense gun safety laws, blah, 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 will stop such shootings. But he didn't stop there. He went on to say Ron DeSantis signed a permit-less carry bill in April that removes requirements for background checks, instruction, training, and oversight. Until our leaders have the courage to stop bowing down to the NRA and enact common sense gun safety, this kind of senseless violence will continue. Now, there's one problem with this.
What?
Florida's new constitutional carry law, which will allow Floridians to carry concealed weapons without a government-issued permit, doesn't even go into effect until July 1st.
Yeah.
Oops. Making Florida, by the way, the 26th state to enact constitutional carry legislation.
Yeah,
so, again, Gavin, you wanted to come hard with this big point about this was the reason this happened in Florida, was that idiot DeSantis, and, of course, it doesn't even go into effect until June 1st, but
July 1st, yeah.
Or July 1st, rather, yeah. I'm sorry.
Well, also, the whole thing about no background checks, that's a bunch of malarkey. No,
it is.
If you go buy a gun from a gun shop, you still have to go through a background check.
Yes. But he's got all the old talking points down, it seems.
And they just keep regurgitating this crap and putting it out there on social media. Does he get flagged for that?
No. Well, here's the thing.
It's fake news. It's false information.
The lies work. They always work. I mean, I know people who are really intelligent but and very, very opinionated on being anti-gun and whatnot, who actually think that in Texas, with constitutional carry, you can literally carry a gun anywhere you want at any time. Well, that's actually not true. But they just, it's one of those things. You tell them, well, that's not true. Well, a lot of people don't know that. Well, then educate yourself. I'm sorry. You love saying that phrase. I hate sounding like one of you people, but you
know,
just actually learn what the law is.
For my story today, Benedict Cumberbatch in the news. The actor.
Oh, that guy. Yeah.
Listen, this crazy chef with a knife terrorized him and his family.
Chef?
Yes. This 35-year-old guy, Jack Bissell, kicked his way through the front gate of Benedict's home in North London, shouting, "I knew you moved here. I hope it burns down." He's just yelling.
Wow.
Apparently, he destroyed a plant, spit on the intercom at the front door, then ripped it off the wall. He and his wife and three kids were inside the house at the time. Now, the chef fled before cops showed up, but they got his DNA and then arrested him. But it's not clear why it happened. The dude was already convicted, just got slapped with a fine and a 3-year restraining order from the Cumberbatch family. But no word why he singled him out. It's just strange.
This was in L.A.?
No, it was in London.
London? Okay.
But whenever I now hear the name Benedict Cumberbatch, I think of Sam Elliott, the actor, talking about the cowboy movie with Benedict Cumberbatch, Power of the Dog.
I remember this.
Because he hated the movie.
Yeah.
And he was doing this interview, you know, why? I think he started it by saying.
Yeah, you want to talk about that piece of
Oh, no. You didn't like that one?
No.
Okay. Why?
I'll tell you why.
He starts to tell him why. Want to know why? Tell you why. He goes into this.
That's what all these cowboys in that movie looked like.
You're saying they look like Chippendales. Remember that part? Because they'd have their shirts off, the chaps.
They're all running around in chaps and no shirts. There's all these allusions to homosexuality throughout the movie.
Yeah. I think that's what the movie's about.
Yeah. Well, what the f*** is this woman from...
Who, Jane Campion?
Yeah. She's a brilliant director, by the way. I love her work. Previous work.
Sure.
But what the f*** is this woman from down there come...
Oh, New Zealand.
New Zealand.
Right.
Know about the American West. And why in the f*** does she shoot this movie in New Zealand and call it Montana?
Yeah, it just the whole thing, man, it cracks me up every time. It just went on and on.
That's like it's like three whiskeys into it.
Oh, yeah. I could listen to that all day.
I get what you're saying, but you can't. But there's no part of you that knowing art films and knowing.
No.
Well, you're part of it, so I guess it's What is your favorite Western?
Then you know, just kept going, what the bleep? What the bleep? What is this?
Lady from
one of my favorites of all time.
The American West.
Yes.
Did you ever see Roadhouse?
Yes, exactly. I think he was filming 1883 at the time, too. Made it even better.
Yep.
All right. Dianne Feinstein, you know, she lost her mind, okay? Proof next. The Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. Okay, Dianne Feinstein, this does not look good, David.
Oh, no. Well, she's been in failing health, a senator out of California, for quite some time, and we've heard dribs and drabs of reports of her not remembering who she's talking to, not remembering basic things, and then she was laid up with shingles for a while. Now she's back at work, but now the failing New York Times has a report that talks about her serving in the Senate recently. And she was confused as to why Kamala Harris was overseeing the procedures within the Senate.
Well, I am too.
Well, Kamala Harris is president of the Senate because she's the vice president of the United States.
Got it.
And so if there's a tie-breaking vote that needs to be cast, which she did a number of times when they first took office, apparently Dianne Feinstein didn't remember that she was vice president.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a problem.
Well, and then in the story I read, she actually said, hey, what's she doing here?
Yeah.
Actually said, what's she doing here?
I just broke news.
Dude, David, how long ago has this been? 2 years ago? 3 years ago? Where people were writing, she can't do this anymore. She's lost her mind. And yeah. I mean, I'm not trying to be disrespectful. It's just a fact.
Yeah.
She can't do it. But they'll wheel her in there as long as they can, I guess.
Pennsylvania's like, come over here. We'd love to vote for you again.
Yeah, no kidding.
Oh, my goodness, dude. All right. This is the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show.
Are you ready?
Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins.
We just become best friends.
Yep.
Making sense of it all.
Now I get it.
And having some fun.
Lighten up, Francis.
This is the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show.
The Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. It looks like the debt ceiling will be avoided, or it's going to go up. I mean, the whole catastrophe is going to be avoided.
Yeah. Well,
I don't think any of us ever thought that was really going to happen anyway.
Yeah.
They would reach some sort of deal.
Yeah, and that's what it looked like happened over the weekend. You had Republican Speaker of the House, Kevin McCarthy, coming out and saying they had a deal in principle with the White House that involves basically suspending the debt limit for a year and a half or so. And some spending cuts went along with that, and spending moderation went along with that. There are some Republicans who are not very happy with this, though, saying that the cuts don't go deeply enough. And then in the Senate, you've got South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham, who's upset because even though there was increased funding for the Pentagon, it's not keeping up with inflation. So, yeah, it's like at 3.2%.
Okay,
yeah. And, okay, I think, you know, anybody who studies the Pentagon's budget enough can tell you, you could make some room in the budget. It's not, I mean, I'm not going to sit here like a bleeding heart lefty and say, we spend more on defense than the next 10 countries combined or whatever. And I'm like, yeah, because we're the United States of America, and that's what we do. But, yeah, you know, when you've got all of these woke DEI programs rolling yep. out, you got college professors trying to talk to Marines about getting in touch with their feelings and all of this stuff instead of learning how to defend the nation, I think we could probably agree maybe those things should be cut.
Absolutely.
Anyway, but on the other side, though, in the House of Representatives, you have very conservative lawmakers who are saying that the cuts don't go far enough. Chip Roy is one of them, and he's saying that Kevin McCarthy basically ignored a deal that they made during the whole speakership battle a couple of months ago, saying that you'd have to have unanimous consent of Republicans in the Rules Committee before putting a deal like this out there. And it looks like, again, it's a lot of inside baseball kind of stuff, but here's what Chip Roy had to say in part today.
There was a breach in the structure that we agreed to put in place to make sure that we are representing the American people through this heretofore United Republican Conference. The Republican Conference right now has been torn asunder.
It has been torn asunder.
Asunder. Mm.
You hear.
I bet he is ticked off.
Yeah.
They had a deal, and Kevin McCarthy didn't go along with the deal.
Mm-hmm.
And I know people can say, well, you got to do something. You just can't let this thing go where it would be a catastrophe. You default. You know what happens then? Okay. But they had a deal.
Mm-hmm.
And then McCarthy didn't uphold the deal. So, yeah, he's upset. I don't blame him. You know, in the end, is it going to matter? In David's words, no.
No, not at all.
No, it won't. And again, man, when we get into this, we start talking like Lindsey Graham. And then I think of Mitch McConnell, and there are a lot of people upset with Mitch McConnell. And all I can think about, and I could be wrong, but the gut is these are people that enrich themselves more than looking out for the people that voted for them. And it's disgusting to me. And honestly, for Memorial Day weekend, it was nice that I have to pay attention to any of those jamokes for a few days. Because yeah. It's infuriating, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not whining about the gig we have. I'm lucky to have it.
Well, Lindsey Graham, but, too, was he's a big war hawk, so he likes the money being dumped into Ukraine. And
oh, sure. Oh, of course.
Places, you know, so.
Oh, yeah. And then I saw, what is it? Russia is, like, looking for Lindsey Graham, or...
There's an arrest warrant out.
Arrest warrant out.
Something
yeah.
like that, yeah. you know? I don't think it means a whole lot, mm-hmm. but, you know, it's certainly a story that was out there.
Biden will extradite him.
Now, this I found somewhat interesting, because I haven't heard the clip yet. I know you have it, David, and it's from Larry Elder.
Yeah. Conservative commentator, tried to run for governor in California. He is running for president now, seeking the Republican nomination. And so with that in mind, I mean, this is why he is going after Donald Trump, because Donald Trump is the front runner. And that's a gig that at least Larry Elder says he wants. I thought, though, I like Larry Elder a lot. Mm-hmm. I think he made an interesting case for himself, the Donald Trump, during an interview on Fox News.
Okay, roll it.
If Joe Biden can fog up a mirror trade, he's going to be the nominee. And if he's not the nominee, it's going to be Kamala Harris. And depending upon when he hands the baton to her, and eventually he will, she could finish out his term and then run two more full terms. So we could have almost 10 years of Kamala Harris. And I feel this way about 45. I love what he did as president, and I think Republicans do as well. But they're very concerned, and I think rightfully so, that a sufficient number of swing voters, especially suburban women, would not vote for the man if he walked on water. In fact, if he did, Trey, they'd say he Ooh. Cannot swim. If you've lost friends because of Donald Trump, and I've lost three friends I've known for almost 40 years, two of whom I practiced law with, if you no longer can talk to coworkers at work because of Donald Trump, if you have strained relations with your family members because of Donald Trump, I submit to you, Trey Houston, we've got a problem.
Whoa. Interesting. What are you thinking, Scott? You want to say something?
Well,
I can tell.
I mean, the thing is this. I mean, yeah, I understand what he's saying, because I think it's happened to all of us on some level, maybe mm-hmm. not quite to that extreme, but to a mm-hmm. level, right? But Ron DeSantis is the same thing. It's going to happen the same way. You already see it happening.
I think the difference...
Yes and no. I think yes and no.
I don't know, man.
To me, I think the difference here is that with Trump... There are a lot of good things to talk about, but also he shoots from the hip a lot. And he'll say things that are uncouth and whatnot. And, I mean, if you've listened to this show the last several years, you can tell you, I get a kick out of almost everything. I think it's funny.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, if you're, you know, dealing with, you know, the average person who doesn't do this for a living and mm-hmm. maybe they just watch, you know, the opening block of the Today Show or Good Morning America or whatever, it makes it harder to defend Donald Trump. That kind of stuff.
To be honest, man, there's too many unforced errors.
Yeah.
It's not just that he said things that offended some people. I mean, he's done some really dumb things. And honestly, I mean, when you had Giuliani and then the Kraken lady out there repping you,
yeah.
that was a terrible move. He's hired bad people. I don't know anybody that can... you know, argue with that. That's not to say he didn't do great things. But as we always said, you take the good with the bad.
Mm-hmm.
Might as well enjoy the ride. At least that was my mantra in 2016. Yeah. And when Larry Elder just talked about suburban women, you know I've hit that drum before. And that's what I think every time. I'm like, I don't know that Trump can win. And I've got a couple of friends that I thought would be all in for Trump no matter what. And they're not. And it's because they don't think he would win. It's not that they wouldn't like to see him president right. again. It's that they think, in a general, he won't win. Because the media, they've only begun to go after him. And it's going to get way worse. Now, they could be wrong. But that's the conversation. That's why when the polling was like 40% with Trump up on DeSantis, I was surprised. Because if you go back to last November, DeSantis was up without even ever announcing he was going to run. So it'll be interesting.
Mm.
But
you got to win, man. You got to win. I mean, pick whomever, but you got to win.
Oh, the country can't afford.
Well, we can't have this anymore.
No.
No.
I mean, my goodness, man. I mean, I don't want to say anything that's too crazy coming off the weekend, but
I know. We
are absolutely hosed. If it's Biden again, and then what Larry Elder said, Kamala and Kamala. Yeah. Good night, everybody.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, moving on to other things.
Golly, that is... Oh, when you say it like that, it's even scarier for me.
Very much so.
Yeah.
Okay, so the whole controversy with Target and the kids' clothes, the LGBTQ clothing, and then all the stuff with the tuck, we know the story. And they've lost billions in market share. Okay. Remember when we heard, well, there's been these violent confrontations against Target from these terrible people, these terrible conservatives that are threatening people. Did you see where a journalist came out and said, okay, where's the proof? Where?
Right.
Where have there been any violent confrontations? Because we hear this all the time, death threats, all this stuff. Where is it? And I'm wondering, has anyone come up with anything yet?
The closest, I saw a couple of confrontations, not physical, but like one guy tore down a Pride display and like stomped on it on the ground. Another person was kind of harassing a female Target employee. I think, you know, again, that's not helpful. That really makes some legitimate complaints. It makes it look all very, very stupid to me.
I heard about a bomb threat.
But outside
threat
of that, are we talking about a violent threat?
There was a bomb threat that was phoned into a Target, but it was phoned in by the left because they moved the display. I swear that's true. They pushed the display further back in the store, and they lost their mind.
I believe that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's not like someone, you know, threatened someone else with a machete. Like the college teacher in New York, the crazy lefty. It wasn't anything like that. Yeah. But as far as I could tell, this is the thing that you hear all the time. Oh, and now this person is facing death threats. And they're facing, you know, the people coming in and making a scene and, you know, all this crap. And you're like, okay, where's the proof of that? I'm not seeing it. I don't know exactly where it was. So I was just curious if anyone had seen any of that stuff. And apparently not. Something we got to get to a little bit later. And that is the review of The Little Mermaid from the New York Times, where they actually were sad about a lack of kink.
Yeah.
What is that? It actually said it in the review.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. And I also saw Arnold Schwarzenegger was talking about Bruce Willis. Bruce Willis, not in a great state right now. But he mentioned something about Bruce Willis being, you know, a great actor, great action hero. And then what he said about action heroes was curious, to say the least. We will get to that. And who said we need to stop drilling for oil completely? The answer and much more straight ahead. The Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. So we need to stop drilling for oil completely, said who?
Jamal Bowman, another Democrat who's making the rounds, I guess, now. Basically, this is a guy who lacks any sense of self-control and just, like, yells at people in the hallways.
Yes.
Well, now he's actively lobbying for a level of death that the world has never seen. This is Representative Jamal Bowman talking about climate change on CNN.
Okay.
We need to stop drilling for fossil fuels completely. But number two, we need an expedited way to get us to clean, renewable energy, or we will continue to have the severe weather events that we have been having for quite some time because of the warming of the planet.
He's inspirational.
Yeah.
Severe weather events. You don't have to be that smart to get that gig. Inspiration to dump people all across the United States.
Some GOP pack needs to pick that up and just run it as an ad.
No kidding. Stop oil and gas production.
Right, yeah, stop it.
Yeah.
Okay, when he's just spouting that stuff, are there any fact checkers there to say, hey, actually, that's not true?
You would hope, but no.
Here are the actual stats of this. They don't do it.
No, I'll never forget when there were floods in Dallas-Fort Worth a while back, and it was on the Today Show. Where it says, flooding because of climate change. They just said it. Like, North Texas has never flooded before. Really?
I remember that day. I recorded it because I didn't think you'd believe me.
Yeah. I mean, Stevie Ray Vaughan actually wrote a song about flooding down in Texas.
Okay? Yes.
Yeah, but they had to shorten that for radio play. It was Texas flood because of climate change.
Well, if Stevie Ray was alive today, it would be couldn't stand the climate change, not couldn't stand the weather.
It's Stevie Ray Vaughan and the double Teslas.
It's supposed to be hot shot, not cold shot.
Oh, I mentioned Arnold Schwarzenegger. Had praise for Bruce Willis. He was talking about Bruce Willis recently. And yes, Bruce Willis, you probably know, had to retire from acting last year. He got the brain disorder, aphasia, which has since progressed to dementia. And Schwarzenegger said, I think that he's fantastic. He was always, for years and years, is a huge, huge star. And I think he will always be remembered as a great, great star and a kind man. I understand that under his circumstances, health-wise, he had to retire. But in general, you know, we never really retire. Action heroes, they reload.
What does that mean?
That's why I'm asking. Well, what is that?
Is he calling him soft or something?
I don't think so.
Kind of sounds that way.
It's sort of like the action heroes never die, they just reload.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know what that means.
It probably sounded good when he was when he came up with it in the shower, I think, you know, one of those things. But that, like, I don't know, because I don't think Bruce Willis is going to be making any sort of comeback. I don't think he's...
No.
I think he's kind of...
He's not going to get better. He's not going to get better.
He's not going to get better.
No.
All I could think in my head was, did Schwarzenegger watch a Jocko video and then try to... somehow use what Jocko said in his own words that then didn't make sense? Because if you're familiar with Jocko Willink, Navy SEAL.
I am, because of you guys. Yeah.
Well, you watch Jocko for motivation. He's got a great podcast. With the one we've talked about before where he's talking about good, no matter what situation you have adversity, good's going to make you stronger. At the end of that, says no matter what happens, like if you're still breathing, and he uses the word reload. And I know off air we've talked about this several times, reload. The way he delivers it, all I can think about was Schwarzenegger took that from Jocko somehow.
And if you're still breathing, well then hell, you still got some fight left in you. So get up, dust off, reload, recalibrate, re-engage.
Yeah.
And go out on the attack.
Yes. Hey, why did you just roll your eyes?
I don't know. Every time I hear my...
Are you rolling your eyes and freaking Jocko?
No, I'm not.
Are you serious? Somebody get Jocko on the phone.
Didn't get that promotion you wanted? Good. Time to get better.
Exactly.
When the Undertaker gets here, I'm going to take him apart. Mean Gene Okerlund.
Maybe you need to hear some of this. Maybe that's what you need, Scott.
There's going to be some good that's going to come from it.
Yeah.
Didn't get the new high-speed gear we wanted?
Right.
Good. Didn't get promoted. Good. More time to get better. Oh, mission got canceled? Good. We can focus on another one. Didn't get funded. Didn't get the job you wanted. Got injured. Sprained my ankle. Got tapped out? Good. Got beat? Good.
Good, says the Markley Van Camp and Robin Show.
Good.
Somebody get a hold of Jocko. Let him know Robin's rolled his eyes.
I did. I just.
You did.
I know. I just keep thinking, jumping off the top rope stuff when I hear him.
It's a Navy SEAL.
I know.
Is that a wrestler,
you ever
Scott?
Watch these guys? I mean, they sound that way.
Hey, Scott. Sounds like you're channeling Mako. I don't really like that very much.
No doubt.
Crack your head. I'm going to crack your head.
You need some Jocko. You know who else needs some Jocko? Your cats. Because they're undisciplined. God. I would love to see that. All right, David, biggest story of the day.
Didn't get your catnip? Good.
Squirted you with a water bottle? Good.
Good.
I love Jocko. I am not mocking Jocko, for the record. All right, then. The Markley Van Camp and Robin Show. I'm Jamie Markley, Gen Xer. David Van Camp, the Millennial. The Sexy Boomer. Scott Robbins. This law school, this is crazy to me, man.
Yeah, it really is. City University of New York's public law school ran into some controversy yet again because, well, they like to highlight people who are pro-communist and anti-Semitic. This happened May 12th. The school apparently tried to hide this, but they were forced ultimately to publish it. It's the graduation speech by a woman named Fatima Musa Muhammad. where she not only talked about how the class of 2023 was going to demolish capitalism and white supremacist patriarchy, whatever, but also confront and defeat the Jews.
Oh.
Israel continues to indiscriminately rain bullets and bombs on worshipers, murdering the old, the young, attacking even funerals and graveyards as it encourages lynch mobs to target Palestinian homes and businesses, as it imprisons its children, as it continues its project of settler colonialism, expelling Palestinians from their homes.
Okay. Again, we're not sure if this was pre-approved or if part of the speech was approved. No. And then she ad-libbed. We don't know.
I'm feeling it's very roguey. She went rogue.
Well,
there's no way you rubber stamp that, is there?
I can't imagine
there's
that
no
you
way.
Would. And then you're trying to hide it,
yeah.
And then you have to come out with it.
Right.
It would tell me that you didn't know it was coming, but who knows?
Yeah. We are the student body and faculty that fought back when investor-focused admin attempted to cross the BDS picket line, saying loud and clear that Palestine can no longer be the exception to our pursuit of justice, that our morality will not be purchased by investors.
Interesting.
Get them out.
You want to talk about dog whistles here. What do you
yeah.
mean by investors?
Mm-hmm. You know exactly what it means.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay.
You know, I'd like to fast forward 20 years and still see if she is that loony.
Who knows, man?
Is this lunacy stuff? Is
Well, so you got...
For somebody who hasn't experienced life at all.
Legacy Media. I mean, dude... She's being told what to say.
Yeah, well, she's...
She's learned.
The responses are robotic,
yes.
too. I mean...
But we hear all the time from legacy media and the left, white supremacy, biggest threat to the United States, okay? And we've got to do something to, whatever wording they use, get rid of racism. What do you call that? Where are all the people on the left? Are you saying that's exactly what they're all about?
That's what it seems like. They seem to really enjoy the company of these people.
Man, oh man. Whoopi Goldberg still got a job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's... You know, sometimes you're taken aback, even though you kind of know the bit's coming. I hadn't heard that particular clip, and then you hear it, and your jaws just kind of drop to be like, wow, man. So that's what we're doing right now in this country. And it takes, what, a few weeks for that to even see the light of day? Like, the people that are there didn't say, hey, did you see what happened here?
Mm-hmm.
You got to get a reporter on this, something. This is nuts. No, they were forced to come out with it. Wow, man. I did see this over the weekend. J.K. Rowling, Harry Potter fame. Why are you laughing?
I love her cojones.
Yeah, you know.
I love the fact that she will not be shouted down or intimidated.
I do like that. I don't agree with her all the time.
You don't have to. She just says it, though.
Yes. Well, she unloaded on this British journalist, Patrick Strudwick, which means nothing to me, but apparently he's a big name. She had this big, long tweet, and it was accusing him of running with a false story about a, quote, Let Women Speak event that took place in Australia. But he blocked her on Twitter, so she couldn't answer him.
Yeah.
So she just had to tweet on her own.
Mm-hmm.
So the Strudwick guy claimed in a piece he published at iNews that the group had staged a mass Nazi salute. And that is a claim that J.K. Rowling said was easily disprovable. But again, she couldn't challenge him directly. So then she just started tweeting out, as Patrick Strud has blocked me here. I can't challenge him directly about the claim he published in iNews. Said, this is a lie so brazen, so easily disprovable, and so libelous. I'm amazed it was allowed into print by a supposedly reputable news source. And then she went on to take on the radical transgender activists as a group. Saw this at Daily Wire, by the way. She said, for years now, women and gay people concerned about the erosion of their rights, the dismantling of safeguarding, and the escalating threats and violence of trans activists have been called fascist and Nazis by people like Strudwick for holding what, until 5 minutes ago, were solidly left-wing slash feminist political positions. Nobody but useful idiots can be genuinely surprised that real fascists have spotted a glorious opportunity in trans activism. I think you know where she's going with that. It says, the homophobic anti-feminist far right has long held that the left is degenerate, foolish, immoral, and authoritarian, and now they can point to the incoherent arguments of the gender ideologues, the bullying tactics of the no-platformers, and the swarms of mass men threatening violence against women for wanting to retain single-sex spaces, and crow, we told you so. And then arguing that extreme radicals on both ends of the political spectrum were in favor of the bullying and otherwise authoritarian tactics. That's where it's like, okay.
Well, that's a lot of words to say I was wrong and my opponents were right, but okay.
Yes, and to say, and then to say, well, and the right's just as bad.
Right.
Are they? Really, JK? Did they ruin your career? I don't know about that.
I think anybody ruined her career.
Yeah.
Tried to, yes. So I'm glad that she's speaking out against.
Yeah, me too.
And again, man, she was just calling fake news on this guy.
Yeah.
And what kind of reporter says, yeah, I'm going to block you on Twitter. I don't want to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
My story's out there. Seems kind of crazy. Well, in the same vein of the subject of that story, also saw this at Daily Wire. Well, the title of the story, I was attacked because I didn't want to have sex with him. I'm like, okay, what does this mean? New Jersey female inmate details alleged assault from trans-identified male transfer.
Yeah.
Another one. Yes, incarcerated at a state women's correctional facility and alleging a male transfer who identifies as a female assaulted her after several instances of sexual harassment. Shakira Reed, inmate at New Jersey's Edma Mahan Correctional Facility for Women, told in an exclusive interview that a trans-identifying male named Jermaine Gibson repeatedly punched Reed in the head, resulting in a broken nose and two black eyes in a scene that witnesses described that left blood everywhere. And so an anonymous female inside said, I lived on the wing with both of them. Gibson continuously harassed Reed and would often speak in his man voice because he thought it was funny mm-hmm. when he was asked not to because he had made the women uncomfortable. So apparently the guy would talk a certain way and then get into his man voice. Mm-hmm. And they'd say, hey, stop. And then he would just keep doing it.
He was faking it, in other words.
Well, yeah.
Well, he's a real woman, though.
No,
he's not.
No.
During the days leading up to the actual incident, he kept egging her on. When it actually took place, I could hear it. I didn't see it, but it was so loud we heard them down the wing. And this took place in the rec room. We could hear Shakira yelling, stop hitting me. So the recent events are just unimaginable. And honestly, if I wasn't living them, I wouldn't believe them. People need to know what it's been like for us because no one has ever come to ask us how we feel about them being here. This is misogyny within misogyny.
Of course it is. I think there's a simple fix there is, again, you can be housed with the women if you identify yep. as a woman, but you got to trade in the Wienermobile.
Well, yeah, that's just it.
Okay.
Since you came up with that idea, I do think it's brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're going to identify that way, you got to mean it, right?
Mm-hmm. You got to commit, okay?
It might be a copyright infringement with Oscar Mayer. I don't know.
No, they've changed the name. Remember, it's not the Wienermobile anymore. It's the
Frankmobile. That's true. This is true.
So I'm just saying.
You got a point there.
Well, yeah, the Wienermobile could take care of it, too. It could drop by for, like the Bookmobile, like every month.
One?
Every month, yeah.
Yeah, no problem. Not a big deal.
Yeah.
All right. On a lighter note, you know what I'm thinking? You know, easing back into the work week, little weekend, you know? Maybe game time? Who's up for a game today?
Sure.
Yes? Let's do it. Robbins, it's been a while since a win. But you got a shot today, I do believe.
Barack Obama was in his first term.
Hasn't been quite that long, but it's been a while. I happen to see this online because the summer blockbuster season is now here with movies coming out. And so this list has all of the biggest summer blockbuster movies since 1975.
Wow.
Which was Jaws. That was the first one then. But since then, what has been the biggest summer blockbusters? It's one for each year. It's not ranked. You get three guesses each. Whoever has the most at the end wins the game. We can go to tiebreakers if you want.
Okay.
I think we probably should because this is America. There are winners and losers.
Golly.
David's the current champ. He goes first. Summer blockbuster.
Do I
Doesn't matter the year, any blockbuster on here.
Gotcha. So I don't have to name the year as well? Just a movie.
I think just the movie.
Star Wars. New Hope, the first one.
That's a given.
What? Yes. Is that what you were going to guess?
Yes.
Yeah, it was? Yes, 1977. Very good, David. You're up 1-0 to Scott.
Urban Cowboy.
That would have been 1980, correct?
I don't know.
So sorry. Correction. That was Star Wars The Empire Strikes Back in 1980. Urban Cowboy not on the list. Not a summer blockbuster. Back to Van Camp.
Well, that was going to be my second guess. I'll just round out the trilogy. Return of the Jedi.
And, you know, just for funsies, what year was that?
83 or 84?
83, and it was the summer blockbuster.
How many Star Wars movies are on this thing? Might as well get this over with
2-0. Yeah, you're still in this. Come on, a can-do attitude.
I'll say Grease.
Grease, 1978. Robbins is on the board.
Hey, he's on the board. What do you know about that?
It's 2-1.
Go ahead, David. Next Star Wars.
I'll stick with George Lucas, Indiana Jones, Raiders.
Raiders of the Lost Ark for Van Camp's third guess, which would then take Robbins completely out with a right answer. And that is it, yes. That wasn't a shellacking, really. If you had another guess, what would it have been?
Saturday Night Fever.
Saturday Night Fever. No, that would have been 1977. That was already Star Wars.
Dirty Dancing.
Dirty Dancing. That would have been. Have to go into the archives and look that one up. Guess it doesn't matter. The game is over. We can get into more of this later. Some of the great movies of all time.
I was being teed up by a Star Wars fan, like a huge super fan.
Well, I'm...
It was before he was born.
Wait till we get to
top
10 Mata Hoople songs. I'm going to win.
Well, I don't know about that, actually.
You know what? Can you put that on your list of reminders, David?
Sure.
I may just throw that out one day for fun and see if Robbins actually wins that. That could be fun. Okay. Oh, you got to hear the story. Why Americans are losing more money in the casinos in Vegas. Very interesting. Straight ahead.
All right.
The Markley Van Camp and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. So House Speaker Kevin McCarthy is going to be selling the debt deal. Probably pretty shortly.
Mm-hmm.
Right, saying why it's great.
He's offering free subscriptions to Netflix.
Nice.
You sign off on it. Yeah.
Pretty good.
Netflix is cracking down, by the way.
Yeah, sharing the policy. Yeah, the passwords.
Get billed $7.99. You go over the limit. They mean it.
Okay.
See how that works.
Nobody shares it with me.
I don't give it out. For our friends in Vegas, you may have already heard about this, and it made the Wall Street Journal, that people are losing more money to the casinos on the Strip. Why is that?
Oh, I know why.
Why?
Because it costs more to enter. To get into the game, the buy-in.
It's part of it.
Oh. I know it costs more now.
How do you know?
I've heard that from friends of mine.
Okay.
To get into the blackjack game, the entry level.
Yeah, yeah, it is. It's harder to find a cheaper table.
Right.
That's part of it. Another part of it is, they reduced the payouts. So, like in blackjack, as you mentioned, historically paid out a ratio of 3-2 when somebody hits 21 on the first two cards. So, if you know, you'd win $15 for every $10 bet. Now, like 2/3 of the tables in town on the Strip pay out at 6-5, which means that same $10 yields only $12 instead of $15.
Ah.
So that's a little part of it. That doesn't seem like much until you realize, when it gets a little busy, the $25 minimum table is now a $50 minimum table. Mm. So then all of a sudden, you're like, wait a second. I'm really losing out here because a $50 bet would have paid out $75, and now it's only paying out $60.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not quite the same. But one of the things they're saying also, and I'm, okay, just putting it down in regular guy speak, they want a little more sophisticated clientele at times. Need to raise the price a little bit, a little more elegant.
Right.
Okay. Just don't want a little bit of trashiness here. Want things to be nice. Little higher end clientele. And apparently that is happening and working. The Vegas Strip casinos took in nearly $8.3 billion last year, a record that exceeded pre-pandemic revenue by more than 25%.
Wow.
So people were ready to go somewhere on vacation, and yes, the payouts were less, and as you said, Scott, to get in was a little more expensive. So I just find that interesting, because there are a lot of people that do like to go to Vegas for that sole purpose. I mean, I'm speaking obvious here. They talked to some people about it. There was this dude from Atlanta, Derek Van Nostrand. I'm not making that
I know.
Up.
That's not a real name.
V-A-N-N-O-S-T-R-A-N, Van Nostrand. He said, it feels the casinos are trying to take the gamblers' money too quickly. Because now it's almost not worth flying to Vegas to play blackjack.
What happens when you do a deal with the devil?
This is the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show.
Are you ready?
Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins.
We just become best friends.
Yep.
Making sense of it all.
Now I get it.
And having some fun.
Lighten up, Francis.
This is the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show.
The Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. Even on a little break, the show never stops. I hear raging going on right now. What's going on in L.A.? What did you just see?
See this from Bill Malugin with Fox News. LAPD arrested a guy for stabbing the neck of a construction worker, nearly killing him. But despite a prison recommendation from the probation department, the Los Angeles District Attorney, George Gascon, they agreed to give him a diversion instead. Meaning, yeah, you're not going to go to jail. We're gonna try to work with you, right? We got the mental health professionals coming on in, and they're going to work with you. Now he's charged with murdering his neighbor last week. Stephen Sutherland was arrested for assault with a deadly weapon back in November 2020 because he thought the construction worker made too much noise, stabbed him in the neck. Probation department, he was already on probation, said, hey, you should go to prison. They warned in writing, he was violent and a risk for future outbursts. In 2021, he got a mental health diversion. Sutherland is now charged with fatally shooting his upstairs neighbor, Jennifer Gomez, multiple times in her own apartment last Tuesday. 19 shell casings recovered at the scene. He previously confronted her about noise, but apparently she was walking too loud or something, and he murdered her. Bill Malugin reached out to the LA District Attorney's office to ask how it made any sense to give a mental health diversion to Sutherland for a violent felony that nearly killed a man. Well, he was released for community treatment and was not in a lockdown facility. Part of their response said, well, a court-appointed psychologist deemed him suitable for the treatment program, and our prosecutor agreed to the defense request for a mental health diversion. The court approved the treatment plan and deemed the defendant safe for community treatment. We are saddened by the most recent allegations, and our hearts go out to the victim and those who loved him. Loved them, I mean.
Well, that's all part of the plan. I mean, that's the most nuts thing about it with George Soros and all the DAs. It's to kill the morale of the citizens of the country by having lawlessness. I mean, if we sit here and try to make sense of why they did what they did, there is no sense to it. That person should have been locked up. We all know it. They want to destroy society, and part of that is killing the morale of regular citizens.
But doesn't that sound nuts when you say it?
It might, but that's exactly what's going on.
I understand what you're... I get it, but
well,
man.
Look, you have people with actual ties to the Communist Party and communist ideology, and if you open up a history textbook, I mean, one of the weirdest things to me is that you don't learn a whole lot about communist authoritarian regimes in grade school. You learn a lot about... Like, you know, it, when you're, and I'm not saying this isn't important, but you learn a lot about the fascist Nazi movement in Germany, of course. But what you don't learn about is that the death toll just a few hundred miles away in Russia was actually higher during the revolution and the communist government's takeover. I mean, you're talking about, in some cases, on purpose, killing millions of people. I mean, there was a famine in Ukraine. Maybe that was the 1930s, maybe 1920s. I don't remember now exactly when it happened. But it was on purpose. The whole idea was to completely starve dissidents to death. A lot of people died.
Well, Ron DeSantis banned those books that taught that.
That's not true. No, man, you're right, though. I mean, especially the more you learn about what happened.
Yeah.
Mao's China, Stalin, Hitler, whatever. There's a reason a lot of that stuff is not taught anymore. Because people that really want to change the country and everything that it's about, part of it is not educating its citizens about its own history and the history of the world. People are easily duped that way because they don't know.
Yeah.
Well, also the term fascist has been hijacked.
Oh, yeah. Well, the left, I mean.
Yeah, they use fascist all the time.
Well, just words in general.
Yeah.
And what they mean.
They don't mean anything.
You know, I'm sure at some point in time, social justice sounded great to people until you found out exactly what it was. You know. I think Elon Musk, when he talked about George Soros, is a guy that just hates civilization. That seems to be pretty accurate because he's trying to destroy it in this country, and it's being allowed to happen. It's freaking terrible. Okay, speaking of Ron DeSantis, it didn't take long. I think it was we all predicted, and it wasn't a tough prediction. That'd be, well, this guy's even worse than Trump.
Yeah. Well, it's happening. It's snowballing. Former Republican Representative David Jolly, who's now a hack on MSNBC, has declared that Ron DeSantis is somehow more Hitler than Donald Trump. Apparently because DeSantis was open to the idea of pardoning some of the people who were charged after the Capitol riot.
Oh, roll it.
I say this with conviction. I think Ron DeSantis is far more dangerous than Donald Trump for a very specific reason. Donald Trump is willing to ignore the rules, ignore the Constitution, and frankly lead to the incitement of January 6th. But Donald Trump is a transactional figure. He'll do whatever it takes to win. Ron DeSantis, I believe, actually in his ethos, is a culture warrior who wants to take us back 100 years and believes he can use the Constitution to that end, and ultimately has a very dark vision of what America will be. So the idea of pardoning January 6th convicts, if you will, at this point, is because he believes we are engaged in a real war that he has to win.
So Ron DeSantis is transactionally phobic? Just ask it.
I'm trying to follow that guy's line of thinking.
Yeah, you can't.
No, it's basically, well, yeah, Donald Trump is evil, but he's malleable, whereas Ron DeSantis is not.
Right.
What does that mean? Again, you can't screech about a guy being a fascist and being literally Hitler for years and then come around and say, well, that guy's even more Hitler-y. It doesn't work that way.
I've heard different conservatives talk about this. I want to say one was Victor Davis Hanson from the Hoover Institute, but don't. I'm pretty sure he was talking about this. I've heard several people say it, that what we're going to see over time is more and more of legacy media putting Trump in a sympathetic role.
Mm-hmm.
Because they really do want him to be the nominee. They do not want DeSantis to be the nominee. Because they see Trump as more beatable. We'll see if that shakes out that way, but I think you're hearing a little bit of it right there. What is the story out of Seattle with a reporter and, like, getting video of something? What is the deal?
Okay, so a little backstory here. Jonathan Cho, he's a journalist in Seattle, and, well, he captured something crazy. On Saturday, he went to 3rd Avenue and Pike, and immediately came across a dude just wailing on another guy. Just beating the hell out of him. So he takes out his phone, and he's recording the confrontation, asking people to call the police. But instead, bystanders confronted him for recording it.
Okay, roll it.
Stop. Just waiting for the bus here, and these people are having crises, so you can stop.
What? Okay, hold on. What does she say?
She says, these people are having crises, so please just stop filming.
He's a reporter.
Right.
That's what you do.
And somehow, taking out your phone and recording something is more disruptive than two dudes wailing on each other. Actually, it wasn't even really a fair fight. One guy was just beating the hell out of another.
Hmm. But since that, in her words, is a crisis,
it's
don't
a
film it.
Mental breakdown.
Yeah.
We have two people here who are mentally disturbed, and you're filming this. And
well, I'm sorry. They do that with pretty much any crisis.
You're exploiting.
Yeah. Okay. Call the police.
Oh, you're all some weird ass talking about call the police. Hey, whoop his ass, man.
Sir, are you okay?
I'm recording that.
You okay?
Put your phone down.
It's like people coming up to him. Put your phone down. Put your phone down. Why are you recording this?
Okay. Is that friends of the person that was waylaying the other person?
Doesn't look like it. It kind of looks like just people there waiting for the bus who are turning around and turning this guy who's filming it into the bad person in this scenario.
Yes.
Because the guy that's actually laying on the whooping from the other dude, he is in crisis too.
Yes.
So please don't record that.
Yes.
He's not guilty of a crime. He's in crisis.
Who are you?
I'm just another one of those people. There are no criminals.
Do I tell you how to run the library? No, don't tell me how to do my job.
Until somebody's beating you.
Shut up. Wow. That's really interesting.
That is bad, people.
Okay. Let's get to the New York Times. We mentioned this earlier. Dude, I don't know what to say about this.
Well,
is there any explanation at all that's come out of there?
Look, you're talking about bad people who want to diddle kids. That at the end of the day, that's really what you have to realize you're up against.
I think you're right.
The New York Times had a film review of the live-action version of The Little Mermaid. And how they framed it was Disney's live-action remake of The Little Mermaid with Halle Berry, starring as Ariel and a diverse cast, reeks of obligation and noble intentions, Wesley Morris writes. But joy, fun, mystery, risk, flavor, kink, they're all missing from a children's movie.
Kink is missing. And this movie reviewer, who happens to be a top critic at Rotten Tomatoes, thinks it's just terrible.
What I can't help but think about is, remember the controversy with the original movie poster for the animated Little Mermaid? Mm-hmm. And it was because one of the artists, and this has happened over the years, is that one of the animators or one of the artists, graphic artists, would sneak in weird, you know, sex stuff into the films or into the images. And on one of the castles in the background, it very much looked like a male member, you could say.
Oh, I remember that.
Where they actually, I think they recalled the movie poster because somebody saw it and said, holy crap, this is a kid's movie. Because some people actually did have common sense to serve as a firewall between freak shows who make cartoons for a living and the general public.
Yes.
And, you know, there's, but now I guess we've learned the wrong lesson in culture media that actually, you know, I want the erection castle on my kid's movie poster is now the good thing. I don't know. It makes no sense to me. Until you remember that a lot of these people are just sick, demented, and want to diddle children.
I take issue with you gendering the member.
That's true. It could have been a female penis. You're right.
Oh my gosh,
we hear those exist now.
Yes, we do.
What? I mean, that's just it. When you actually see it's missing the kink.
Yeah.
And the reviewer goes on to say, it was just too safe. It didn't want to push the boundaries.
It's a kid's movie.
Yes.
Idiot.
It's not even supposed to be for you.
No.
You know, and from what I could tell from the reviews, Halle Bailey, I mean, is really good in it. But some people were wondering, was it really necessary for the reboot, whatever, whatever. And yeah, it's a money grab, this and that. But then this guy, it's just lacking the kink. It's something, man. But speaking of kink.
Yeah.
Quentin Tarantino. Did you see the story that was in the New York Post about Tarantino?
Holy smokes.
The whole foot fetish thing and he paid a stripper one time $10,000 just to lick her toes until they were like prunes?
That's a lot of licking.
Dude! Thank you for that analysis, Scott.
Well, stating the
obvious. I was thinking, what was that, 2-3? Just a little bit? No, you're right. It's a lot of it.
Yes.
Dude, we're dealing with sick people.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I think that's the easiest thing you could say about it.
We'll be making the next Disney movie.
Maybe you could do analysis, Scott. What comes first? Do you get to the core of a Tootsie Pop, or does a toe go to a prune? How many licks does it take?
Okay.
Man on the Street interview.
Why are Americans having fewer babies? That question answered next. All right. The Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. Anybody see this piece? Came out a few days ago, Wall Street Journal. Why Americans are having fewer babies? So the birth rate is down sharply from 15 years ago. What do you think, Scott? You have the answer?
Abortion's got to factor in somehow. And I know people are waiting longer, so that may mean fewer children.
Yes. I thought you sounded like you knew the answer.
I thought I did.
Now you're floundering. Come on out with it. What is it? Say it.
People aren't having sex. Men and women aren't having sex anyway?
As much.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all part of it.
Yeah.
And then when they actually ask women or married couples why, sometimes they'll say, well, part of it's the economy.
Yeah, but man.
You're not buying it, are you?
Well, I mean, the thing is, people were having children during the Great Depression.
Right.
You know, I mean, so.
The teen birth rates have dropped dramatically over 30 years.
Yeah, that's true.
Part of that's birth control, obviously. Yes. But the other part, and I've known different people that have a lot of kids that were not waiting to, like, be comfortable financially. Like, it was paycheck to paycheck all the way through, like, five kids.
Yes.
Just part of it, but there was a want to have kids.
Yes.
I don't know if there is the want as much as it used to be.
Well,
and I mean, and women have a lot more choices.
Well, they've been preached that forever. You don't need children to make yourself, or marriage.
Yes.
To make you fulfill your life. Or, you know, we've heard this for decades now.
Yes. So, I mean, and you read the piece, and they're trying to talk about, you know, economically, there are all these reasons. But I think it has to do with all the things that you just mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
What do you have, David? What are you thinking? Because you're right in that age of childbearing years.
I think some of it really is that a lot of young men are afraid to approach women. Because, well, women do want a lot of times women do want somebody who's going to be assertive. But you can't be too assertive because otherwise then you're just toxic masculinity all over the place and blah, blah, blah. And then... well, you're afraid of being accused of something if the woman has a change of heart or whatever. I mean, we just saw a NFL punter exonerated after false accusations that he took on. I mean, there's all of that. And then at the end of the day, for a lot of guys, it's just easier to stay at home and watch porn. Then you can go play video games. You don't have to worry about human interaction at all.
It's sad.
That's golly.
But that is part of it.
All right.
You know, part of this, too, is that young adults can't afford to buy a house as nice as the one their parents raised them in or to pay for child care while they're repaying student loans. When we had our first kid, I wasn't in a house as nice as my parents because it took years to build up to that.
Mm-hmm.
And many men lack the earning power to be providers. Okay. There's a lot of different things going on
here. Unpack that one.
Yeah. This is the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. All right, David, biggest story of the day.
House Speaker Kevin McCarthy is trying to wrangle the necessary votes to approve and move forward with this debt limit deal, which includes some moderate spending cuts, although the more conservative members of the House are peeved right now because it's not enough cut to the budget. And I think, unless my ears deceive me, Kevin McCarthy... who is only in that position because of Donald Trump, might have just actually kind of slammed Donald Trump.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh. Do you have audio of this?
I do have audio of this.
Oh, boy.
Oh. I want to hear this. Yes. Get to that in the Robbins Trifecta next, right here. The Markley Van Camp and Robbins Show. Thank you so much for being here. Jamie Markley. I'm the Gen Xer. David Van Camp, he's the millennial. The sexy boomer, Scott Robbins. The trifecta with Scott in a few. News update, David Van Camp.
Oh, man. Okay, so you got this debt ceiling deal reached between the White House and negotiators from the House of Representatives. That does curtail some spending, but also lifts the debt ceiling for another 18 months. And so conservatives in the House, conservative Republicans in the House, like Chip Roy, are raging against this deal. They're not a fan of it. They're saying, hey, there was a lot of shenanigans here. You didn't actually agree to the terms that we agreed to when we made Kevin McCarthy Speaker of the House. You know, mm-hmm. there's some backstabbing happening here, and they're not happy about it at all. Kevin McCarthy, who is only in his position as Speaker of the House because of Donald Trump.
That's what we were told, yeah.
Yeah, kind of slammed Donald Trump. When he was talking about the pushback to this deal from House conservatives.
I understand people get upset about walking through a debt ceiling, but this is a House, a Senate, and a presidency. I think when you read the Wall Street Journal, you read the New York Post, you sit back and listen to a lot of economists, they'll say, this is the strongest debt ceiling we ever had. And if I compare it to when Republicans were in the majority, when they had the House, the Senate, and the presidency, they didn't cut anything. They just added more money.
Oh,
well, now that's an interesting turn of events.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you want to go down that road, you start talking about health care. You had it all.
Mm-hmm.
Where were you, Mitch?
Yeah,
I remember Trump saying, Mitch, get to work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, that's interesting.
Well, and there were a couple of times we talked about it at when it was happening, actually, where Trump was going to play hardball with spending and then said, okay, well, we're going to end the government shutdown because, well, just this one time I'll sign it. Then he did it like two more times.
Yeah, there is that too. Yeah. I mean, you can't be afraid to call out the truth. That is the truth.
No.
Yeah, and all you guys are griping now. Well, where were you before? That's interesting.
Say the same thing about the liberals.
I mean, Kevin McCarthy was there too, so.
Yes.
That is true, David, yes.
I'd be careful
like he
if
wasn't
I were,
there.
If yeah. I were Kevin, I'd be a little bit careful on going down that road as well.
Of course. By the way, before you start the trifecta, I saw this. I don't know if you knew this already. So Target, following the footsteps of Bud Light as far as losing market share, with their whole LGBTQ kids clothing line, all the tuck swimwear, all that stuff. Did you know the VP for brand management also served as the treasurer for the LGBTQ group that promoted secret child gender transitions and then sent books to schools?
God, this just gets worse.
Holy Daily cow. Mail is reporting that the vice president for brand management at Target, Carlos Saavedra, 43, was elected to the GLSEN, that's Gay, Lesbian, and Straight Education Network, Executive Committee as treasurer in November of 21. That's according to his LinkedIn page. They help teachers place LGBTQ books in school libraries and hide their students' so-called gender transitions from parents. Mm. And then that person's with Target. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm good not doing business with Target for the near future.
Yeah. You know what else I saw today? I got to bring this up. It's right
concerning
on my phone.
Target?
No, it's concerning another.
Oh, no, not another one.
Yes.
Oh, no.
As I saw it, it was Kohl's.
Oh, yeah.
What are they doing?
Because they have now? Infant LGBTQ merchandise.
Yeah.
For the toddlers. Yes. The Baby Sonoma Community Pride bodysuit set. $9.99. It is reasonably priced. But it's what are we doing?
I know. How does this move the meter? How does this help you?
ESG score. That's what it's all about. Future funding. Banks. Yeah, until the whole ESG thing is obliterated, you're going to see this more and more with a whole lot of stores that it just doesn't make sense. I mean, I don't know if it ends up in a hardware store where you have special LGBTQ saws. I don't know.
Well, that'd be in the medical supply area, actually. No, you know, somebody was circulating an old Ford Raptor ad. Not old. I think it was from last year.
I saw that.
Where it was like in the rainbow colors and all of that stuff. And I thought it was not exactly as timely as a lot of the other stuff that's been coming to light. But I was talking with a buddy of mine about this, and you know, he asked, because I drive a Ford F-150, and he said, oh, do you feel good about that purchase? And I said, well, yeah. I mean, I said, you know, the thing is to me at least, the pride messaging is, you know, nauseating. I think it's over the top. It's pandering, and it's always funny when major companies like Ford, BMW, wherever, you know, pick a country or pick a company, they change their Twitter logos to have the rainbow nonsense on there. Mm-hmm. Except for their brand storefronts in Saudi Arabia. Those don't get the pride thing. So we all know what this is, right?
We do.
To me, though, with the Target, with Kohl's, and all this other stuff, takes it to another level. I think it's just kind of it's with the usual pride rainbow flag stuff. It's nauseating, all that stuff. It's just abject pandering. Mm-hmm. When you start going after the kids, that's when people really start to strike back, and that's where I'm at right now. Like, I don't really care. Okay, Ford did this cringy ad a year ago with the rainbow truck and all that stuff. That's dumb. But man, when you're selling the pride stuff for infants and tuck underwear for teenagers, you've gone too far.
You know, there is something to, and I think you're right. Whatever it is that you're buying, in some sort of way, you either want to feel nothing about it or feel good about it, one or the other. But you don't want that sort of pit in your stomach, like, gosh, I don't even want to do business with this company anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, like, okay, this pair of pants, they're cheap and they're so comfortable, so I'll sort of put up with it, but I don't feel as good about it as I used to. Well, I think with the whole Bud Light thing, with Mulvaney, people are like, no, I don't feel good about this anymore. I'm not doing it. And it has been a snowball. Like, oh my gosh, this boycott's effective. Target, same thing. I think that's going to roll for a while. Be interesting to see how it...
Kohl's jumps in too, huh? Okay.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be different if like this was working for everybody.
Mm-hmm. But again,
like, boy, once we started doing the tuck stuff, their business blew up.
It's the ESG stuff. You remember what happened with Coke? Mm-hmm. When they went woke with Major League Baseball and everything else. Yeah. All right, we got to get to your trifecta. All right. Are you all set to go?
Let's go, man.
Let's do it.
Are you ready?
One, two, buckle my shoe.
It's the three most important news stories of the day.
I hit the trifecta.
Well, at least according to Scott Robbins. It's the trifecta on the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show.
Scott's top three of the day, always helped by his hero.
I'm Casey Kasem.
Never came over this weekend. I invited him.
Got you.
I know you didn't.
I'm ready.
All right, top three.
Number three, Clayton Kershaw of the Los Angeles Dodgers has weighed in on the organization's support of the anti-Catholic hate group.
Yeah, Clayton Kershaw said he disagreed with the Dodgers' decision to honor the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence during their team's upcoming Pride Night game, and that he approached the Dodgers about this.
Ooh.
He said, listen. Let's do something other than this because they make fun of religion. I'm a religious guy. I don't like this. So instead, they relaunched Christian Faith and Family Day as a response, which is coming up on the 20th. Said, I don't agree with making fun of other people's religions. It's got nothing to do with anything other than that. I just don't think that no matter what religion you are, you should make fun of somebody else's religion. It's something I don't agree with. And that prompted them to push the announcement of the Christian Faith and Family Night to July 30th, up to next Friday. Apparently his employer disagrees, though. They say the community loves this, and they're heroes, and I still don't understand the Sisters of Perpetual Nonsense, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. What are they being honored for?
all the life-saving work that
what,
they do.
What work? What are the receipts here? I don't know what these people do.
I think what they're talking about is raising money for AIDS charities years ago. That's okay. What I've heard before with what this organization has done, because they're the only organization who's ever raised money for AIDS.
Money for AIDS, I was going to say.
The only one. No one else. Everyone else was like, don't care about AIDS.
The only group of men who dressed up like nuns in America who have raised money for AIDS. Got it. Golly.
I'm seeing the backlash on this.
On Kershaw or on the...
No, not on Kershaw. On the Dodgers. Okay. Saying that's not going to make it better.
No. It's pandering and...
Yeah.
Yeah, it was met with mockery when they announced that they were going to have the Faith and Family Night thing.
Right. Yeah,
coming up, like really, it's not enough. Sorry, you've run off a bunch of potential customers because you just had to bow to the people who hate Catholics, who hate religion, who hate conservatives. Yeah. You had to bow to, quite frankly, demonic forces.
Wow, Molly Hemingway tweeted. Are you going to reuse the cross from the blasphemous pole dance performed by the anti-Catholic hate group the Dodgers are honoring in June?
Boom. Wow.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, on with the countdown.
Scott Robbins, trifecta, top three of the day, up to number
two.
USA Today reporter said something stupid. Also, really? Water is wet.
This is as dumb as they come. You know, I don't know why we can't all agree on this, but men don't belong in women's sports. I don't know why this is a tough one, but it is. USA Today sports reporter Lindsay Schnell used LeBron James in an argument to shame women who don't want men in their sports.
What?
Here was the quote and the tweet. Every time I hear someone say trans women competing in sports isn't fair, I think of these words from LeBron James. Is LeBron James fair? It's sports. Nothing in sports is fair.
What?
In other words, comparing LeBron James and the NBA, I suppose it's not fair that LeBron's better than everybody else.
That's one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. That's saying something.
Hey, let me just say this for the record, too, dopey. LeBron James is playing against other men.
Correct.
All right?
Yes.
You know, I might get interested in the WNBA, though, if a bunch of middle-aged white guys start dominating the sport.
Oh, just for the absolute spectacle of it.
Yes.
Would be
just
something.
For guys who are like, you know, sixth man in a Division I college team.
Oh, yeah.
That decide they want a paycheck. Yeah.
Yes, that would be hilarious, actually.
That would be fun.
Yes.
There's a third one.
Well, yes, it's the Scott Robbins trifecta, top three of the day, up to number
one.
Number one, more malls are requiring teens to have chaperones on the weekends.
Yeah, this is happening all over the country now, as a matter of fact. Starting April 18th, one of the new ones, Garden State Plaza in New Jersey, second largest mall in the state, is requiring anyone under the age of 18 to be accompanied by a chaperone, at least 21 or older, on Fridays and Saturdays after 5 p.m. According to the mall, this follows an increase in what they're quoting as disruptive behavior by a small minority of younger visitors. That included a reported brawl recently in the food court.
What?
And another fight in March that brought swarms of cops to the center of the mall.
So you're old enough to have your thing chopped off, and you can be mature enough to make that decision, but you need a chaperone at the mall.
To go to the mall.
Okay.
People in New Jersey are saying, we don't go to the mall anymore because, quite frankly, we're afraid to go to the mall. And well, apparently the people that run the mall are like, you know, this is a problem. So they're going to post people at the door when you come in, and they'll be IDing you, I guess. And if you're under the age of 18, you got to have somebody with you that's 21 or older.
That's been a problem with malls across the country.
Yeah. And they don't need this right now. I mean, malls are already struggling bad enough the way it is.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. But too many malls we're afraid of, well, we're going to get a label on us if we really uphold the law.
Yes.
And there you have it.
Yes, the Scott Robbins trifecta, top three of the day. Thank you, Scott.
Thanks, Casey. Stiffed me this weekend, 3-day weekend.
Thank you.
Never showed up.
Goodbye. I miss you.
No, you don't. Not enough.
Got a news update to get to. And Nimrod's in the news. Straight ahead. The Monthly Van Camp and Robbins Show. Jamie Monthly, David Van Camp, Scott Robbins. News update, David Van Camp.
Oh, no, there's a crisis in Florida, guys. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
There's a big furry convention happening.
I saw it.
And they're going to make sure that you have to be over 18
to go to said furry convention. Now, if you are one of the blessed few who doesn't know what a furry is, I'm sorry, I am about to ruin your day. The furries are mostly men, I think it's like 84% men, who don't quite feel human. And so they like to dress up in animal costumes and have snuggle sessions. They like to pet each other. They like to live as these animals, and they consider themselves to be furries. And there is a new law about adult entertainment in venues where alcohol is being served and whatnot. And in the state of Florida, they say, hey, look, you can do it, just no kids allowed. We just don't want the kids there. Rolling Stone had an article about this over the weekend that said it was another phrasing now, but basically it was this relentless attack on the LGBTQ community. Oh, God. And then there was one commentator I like who weighed in on this and said, no, he's gay, by the way. No, do not drag us into the same weirdo pile as furries, okay?
Where's the F in the alphabet mafia? It's not even there yet, is it?
Part of that plus, I guess.
Got it.
Can you imagine? You're on vacation. You know, you and the wife, it's your 25th anniversary, and you're in the same hotel as those nuts.
Dumb get dumber.
All right, Gene.
We're running out of time. I had to start Nimrod.
The Van Camp and Robbins Show.
I love the poorly educated.
But I felt like we already started it.
We did.
That would be a heck of a vacation with your wife, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Hey, there's the furries. Boy, oh boy. Let's just get to a couple of quick ones, shall we? Guy in Pennsylvania, behind bars, called 911 for a house fire he started. Why? Trying to burn spiders in his home. And a government official in India suspended after he ordered a dam be drained. Why? So he could retrieve his phone. And that's Nimrod to the news.